Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello, it is nearly Samhain or Halloween if you're not any sort of a pagan. And the time for us to be thinking about our ancestors and about the ways in which we need, in my opinion, to be grateful for them, to offer them blessings, to honour them and to help them to become the well and wise ancestors. And so before we talk to that, I'd love to know, what does Christianity make of ancestors? What are the stories in Christianity about ancestors? Is that even a word you find in Christianity?
Not really, because the ancestors are the Hebrew Testament, and a lot of people don't really honour the Hebrew Testament that much. I'm unusual in that I do. I think you can't read the New Testament without understanding the Hebrew Testament. Mm. So that, for me, would be the honour of the ancestors. So I think it's absolutely something that has been forgotten, because the ancestors in Christianity have been replaced by popes and bishops.
Mm-hmm. And the ancestors of Christianity are Judaism, are they not?
Yes, indeed. So, yes. Yeah. Christianity was started by two Jews, St. Paul and Jesus, and much more by St. Paul than by Jesus, who was there just to reform things, it would appear. So not an awful lot. But we do have All Souls Day and All Saints Day.
Yes.
And All Souls Day is basically Halloween. It's for honouring the dead. Nowadays, there are these things for your loved ones who have died on trees and things like that, which is okay, but it isn't the ancestors. And I do think that originally it was about honouring your line, you know, all the ones behind you. So I would imagine that it was in the early days a lot more like pagan, because it was humanistic. It was real. It was part of the land, part of our reality. Christianity became very patriarchal. It started at the bottom and got lifted up to the top, and that's its problem.
What did?
Christianity.
The bottom of what?
It started with the slaves, the women, the dispossessed. It was started in community. They shared all their money. They shared all their property. They lived together in communities. And then the desert people and the what were they called, of Alexandria? They were a desert people, very much like the Shakers. They went to live in communities to live in peace and harmony and communion with each other and with the land. But then 313, good old Constantine made Christianity the official religion. And after that, we got robes and popes and all the top down, you know, the law coming from the top down rather than working organically from the bottom up, which is sort of refers back to our conversation last time about who's in the club and who's out.
Yeah, indeed.
And if the posh people, no, it's not posh people, but the people at the top make all the rules for the people at the bottom, they've never been the people at the bottom. They don't know what it's all about at all.
No. Which just, I know this is completely off subject, but that makes me think of in days of my grandfather or perhaps his grandfather, when so often people would begin at the bottom of a business and work their way up. Mm. And they might not work their way up to being kind of the owner, but they might well work their way up to being a manager. Mm. And that they had the experience of beginning at the bottom. Mm. And they knew what they were doing, especially in like trades and crafts and things. You know,
well,
they knew how to make the thing.
As a journalist, it may be that the them aspect of the media now comes from the fact that the majority of the media go to university, do a media course, and then join a radio station or a TV station, because we do still have newspapers, but not the way we used to. And I did a year's pre-entry course, and then I started on a local weekly paper, and I had to stay there for 3 years before I could take my proficiency test and move to another paper. So I was going out interviewing couples who had their golden wedding and living life at the bottom of the tank, if you like.
Yeah.
And doing all the lowest of the low jobs, which got you out with the people, finding out what life for the people was. So there I was, a 20-year-old cub reporter, learning how a marriage worked.
Yeah.
Learning how people operated a company, learning how the local musician did his task. And after those 3 years, I took the proficiency test and then moved on to another newspaper. And the irony was, I was actually marking the proficiency test only a year after I took it, because there weren't that many people. Everything changed after that point, and people were doing their media courses. I only went into radio because local radio was starting out.
Wow.
At that time,
ooh,
independent
Maggie,
radio
old,
started. I am old, very old. Went to Beacon Radio from newspapers. And then from radio, went to another radio station and clawed my way slowly up a tree, not very high. But the level of experience that I've got, I can tell you, I've covered practically every kind of story in the world. And I watched the cyclical motion of these stories and realising this thing of there is nothing new under the sun. Things go round and round. It's the same story.
Do you know what? That is so the same story of the story of the ancestors, in a way.
Yeah.
Is that here's we, alive now, the beautifully romantically named the circle who sit closest to the fire. So we are the yes. ones with bodies.
Yes.
And we're the ones, in a way, at the bottom of the heap, as it were, in that here we are in our human bodies at the kind of coal face of being human.
Mm.
We're having our experiences. And that the ancestors, in a way, could be seen as those kind of progressions through experience, through life, through understanding, through the stages of what it is to be not in a human body, but to have once had a human body. And that our job, one of our jobs as humans, as the ones who are in bodies, is to look after those ones who have come before us, so that what we're inheriting from them are the blessings and not the burdens of their time here. The blessings, not the curses, is how I more usually put it.
Mm.
And that, as we know, we've discussed this hundreds of times, potentially. Okay, we're on, what, number 88 or something, mm-hmm. aren't we? It's not hundreds of times. But we have said the words, the witch wound, pretty damn mm-hmm. often over the last 80-something episodes. And we know that what happens there in our ancestral line is potentially handed to us
mm-hmm.
as trauma, as particular proclivities and persuasions.
Yeah.
And that if the healing wasn't done at the time, if the story was, this is traumatic, you know, don't trust your intuition or you'll die type of stories,
yeah.
and they get reinforced and handed down through generations, they become our curses, our yes. burdens. And if the stories of our ancestry is, all will be well, it's all beautiful, you've got arms and legs, celebrate, mm-hmm. the world is full of love, then we will have inherited that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is literally as simple as that. So it's our job as the ones who are here is to offer healing to pray for, to be in a small amount of service and remembrance to those who have gone before us, so that the wounds of the past might be healed, so that we have an eye on the past. He who has an eye on the past is blind in one eye. He who has no eyes on the past is blind in both eyes.
Yeah.
What we do not learn and remember from the past mm. will be repeated
yes.
until we do. And therefore, of course, looking backwards up our lines is incredibly important work.
Yes.
As we move towards this, hopefully not dystopian future, but whatever the future is, for the wholeness of our own being, mm. we must attend to the ancestors. And so what we're in the kind of my speak, which I suppose is more shamanic speak than witchy speak in this particular iteration, is we want to make as many of the ancestors as possible into the well and wise ancestors
hmm.
rather than into the troubled dead or ghosts. And so there are jobs to do, and this is the time of year to do them.
I absolutely agree with that. One of my jobs in my church is helping souls through.
Yeah.
And ensuring that they don't get earthbound and they don't get to become be hitchhikers ghosts. On
yeah.
other people. Yes. But I want to change it very slightly and say we have got a little bit of an issue at the moment, because always down the generations, you could honour the ancestors as elders.
Mm-hmm.
We're not creating elders.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And if you haven't got elders in your society, why would you honour the ancestors? Because as far as the whole of this last year or two is, oh, we must take care of the people in the care homes. But there's still this sort of echo because there's nothing they can do. They're old, they're useless.
Yeah.
And we are creating generations of not useless old people, but people who aren't, whose wisdom isn't required, or who haven't even acquired wisdom. Nowadays, we have information all the time. People will go to Google, not grandma.
Yeah. Well, so much information, so little wisdom, as yes. I think we've mentioned before.
Yes, yes. But it's quite challenging, perhaps. I mean, my grandparents, I wouldn't have called elders.
God, I would mine, but I'm glad. I was particularly lucky in mine.
I'm very glad. Mine were just fearsome old ladies who made you eat two slices of bread and butter before you could have a piece of cake and don't speak unless you're spoken to. I can't tell you, I learned a thing.
You learned that you have to eat bread and butter before you eat cake.
And then I rebelled. But actually, no, that's actually another topic, but it's very true, because if you've got the rules and regulations as a child, you do at least know where you are, so you can break out of that, or standing on a solid foundation, as it were. Mm. So for me to eat cake without bread and butter is still a little bit of a... Well, I'm wicked.
That's what you get when you hang out with a witch.
Yeah, that's very true, yes, it is. I had broken that one before. Elders and ancestors go hand in hand, don't they? Because we haven't got... Who do we have to look back on and admire?
I don't know. Well, for me personally, I do have my grandparents.
I'm very glad. Tell me about your grandparents. I admire them
enormously. But no, I don't want to get... Forgive me, I don't want to get distracted by my grandparents. But because I don't think I agree with you. Just for change. I'm not sure... that we need elders in order to ancestralise our ancestors, because our ancestors aren't necessarily, well, they're definitely not those who had the opportunity to become an elder. So the ancestors are all of the dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're the dead who never got to be a direct bloodline ancestor, as much as they are the dead who are directly our grandparents, our great-grandparents, etc. Mm-hmm. And that all of them need our attention, our compassion, our healing, our remembrance. So one of the reasons they need our remembrance is in order that we can offer our gratitude. And to me, that's one of the features, if you like, of sovereignty for mm-hmm. me, is that we have to remember that we didn't materialize here kind of our own volition as some magnificent iteration of, you know, divine whim, here I am. Whether I like them or not, whether I think they're elders with a capital E or not, whether I even know who they are or not, I am only who and what I am.
Because of them.
Because of them.
That is outside of Christianity. So I'm listening not with totally new ears, but I'm interested and I'm intrigued, and it's not something that I was raised with.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay. Intriguingly, even though, so my grandparents on my mother's side were, on the one hand, they were Irish Catholics. Mm. On the other hand, they were Irish, they were Celts.
Mm.
And so... I definitely had far more downloads from them on the score of Celtic mm-hmm. beliefs, Celtic ancestry, yeah. love of the land, love of story, enormous respect for, as much for the spirit of the land, the spirit of the tree, our inner knowing, mm. as any information about Jesus. And in fact, I was clearly, they did a rotten job, all of them, because I don't know anything. But that, you know, my grandparents, like I said, I mean, they trotted off to church every single Sunday, but also seemed to have managed to raise me as a raging animist. You know, I take a huge amount of what I know, what I learned, how I love, how I relate to stories, how I relate to land was taught to me directly by my grandparents, especially by my grandfather. And so his mother was an incredibly gifted seer and psychic, and we have absolutely, you know, loads of stories about all the ways in which she would, you know, go up to people and say things that changed or saved their lives. And so were her brothers. One of her brothers was a passionist father on the one hand, who lived on some tiny island in the north of Ireland, somewhere in the middle of a lake, I think, or like maybe had a holiday home, but that wasn't where he was being a passionist father, or that was where his home was. I don't know. The stories are a bit muddled in my head because I probably last heard them when I was about 10, but no, older. Anyway, like one of my favourite stories is that this passionist father used to have people coming trooping over to his island where he was to receive healing, which from him, that would have been nothing to do with him. He would have been simply passing on the healing of the Holy Spirit kind of thing. But it was definitely, he wasn't, as far as both he and the people around him were concerned, this had nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with him and who he was.
Mm.
And there's this hilarious story about how some bloke arrived on kind of crutches with a massive limp. And I can never remember whether it was Artie or Dick. They were twins and they were called Dick and Artie Maguire. And evidently he took a bicycle pump to this chap's knee and blew it full of the Holy Spirit or whatever it was. And he put down his crutches and walked out. And that's always been treated with, you know, the gracious of respect and much hilarity in my family. And I've completely digressed, haven't I, from ancestors?
No, but it's been really useful because it's helped me realise there is something down my line to honour. And that sounds ridiculous to you because... But it isn't ridiculous to me because I've never been taught to honour down my line. And I'm thinking about my grandmother who was cut off without a penny by her family for marrying into trade. And her sister, who was sent on a cruise around the world to help her get over an unsuitable young man she'd become involved with, who met a redneck from Arkansas and married him on the ship and went to live in Arkansas. This tight-ass little English family and this pretty little English girl who went to live in Arkansas.
I've never been to Arkansas. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, it's fairly redneck country, you know. It was very difficult for her. She actually became a sharpshooter at a circus.
Hilarious. This girl. Oh, my God.
And thinking about that, I'm thinking, I can really honour Granny and Auntie Sheila for that. And, you know, I never really thought about it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And beyond that, of course, there must be a whole load of feisty women who made what most of the patriarchy would think was really stupid decisions, which sums up me very nicely, all the way back.
Okay, so let me take a different spin on it now. I'm honouring them. I love them. I love their stories. I love the way that they filled my life with stories, mm-hmm. and that there's always been this really, really big understanding of me about the power of stories, because my entire family, but my grandfather in particular, were these incredible stories, and they had a story for everything and about everyone. Like literally down to, if I say to you, this is a lovely cup, Maggie, and it was him, he'd be like, well, now, you know.
Yes, the design on that and the person who made it.
Exactly, and it was whatever. There were stories about everything, and in fact, he didn't speak with an Irish accent at all, hardly. Well, no, he was quite Irish, but he was also... a little bit posh English. He was educated in England. I'd completely lost my face. Oh, yeah, no. So the other thing is, that just to keep it in recent history, but understand that this goes back to Dot, and that there's no limitation on how far you can or might need to go back to heal the wounds of the past.
Mm.
For example, in that family, so we're talking about my mum's mum and my mum's dad, both of them, as a young teenager, lost a sister. So my grandfather's sister went to the races and was kicked in the head by a horse and died.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's sister they were out walking on a hillside. There was an avalanche of trees there because people were logging. Mm. Her sister was killed.
Wow.
So both of those girls, bizarrely, were at the same school. I don't think they knew each other necessarily, but anyway, that's not the point. My mum was sent to that school. She expected to die because both of her aunts had died. Her what would have been her aunts had died at that school.
Yeah.
So sewn into my ancestry is this story. And of course it's sewn into everyone's ancestry. Every family everywhere ever has lost countless young children.
Yes.
The further you get back, the more deaths there were.
Yes.
But sewn into the really recent history of my family, on my mother's side, is a terrible fear that our children will die. And that had such a grip of me. Mm. I can't tell you. I didn't even know that both of my grandparents had had a sibling who died as a teenager. Yeah. I didn't find that out until, I think I only found it out, when I was held in a heart-freezing paranoia about my fears around my own children. Mm. And I am terribly saddened and not ashamed, because it's I didn't do it knowingly or willingly. Mm. But, you know, I was raised by a pair of catastrophists. I became a bit of a catastrophist, understandably, given what happened in their various lives. I became a catastrophist. I have passed on not so much catastrophizing, well, a bit, but being worried about those you're expecting to see who you haven't heard from.
Mm. I've just got that in my astrology. I don't think I've got it in my history, well, but I can recognize it.
In our lineage, it's really, really strong.
Yeah.
And my immediate story, until I did loads and loads of work on it to try and heal it and make it less strong and make it better and heal the wounds in the ancestry, was if you didn't show up, if you were late to my house, pretty much my first thought would be, oh, they're dead.
Yeah. I got that because my husband died.
Yeah.
So if a husband was late.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
Probably dead. Don't hear from somebody, probably dead.
Yeah.
But I don't ring him up and nag him about it. I just quietly
find
him.
No, me too. Quietly.
Jolly good reason to phone
them. Mourn their loss. And then they turn up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't do it nearly so much anymore.
Well, there's another good reason why I didn't have children then, because I might have passed that one on.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But anyway, you see my point.
Yeah, I do see your point, yeah.
They need to be tended. They need to be attended to. And the more we can go back into our lineage and change the story, so the threads that are passed down will be changed.
And that is a lot of your work. I mean, when we first met, I came to you as a client. And I know it was difficult for you to move on to a friendship with a client, but you'd managed it, and congratulations on that. Thank you. But you discovered an ancestral curse in me, didn't you?
Yeah. Can't remember what it was, but I'm sure you probably can. But
yeah, but that but I knew I'd got it. I didn't know I'd got it, but I knew I'd got it. If you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Which it was what led me to that moment. And I remember exactly where I was sitting, in what car I was sitting, in what the view was when I said, "This stops here. I will not have children. I will not pass this on." And you said to me, "You probably wouldn't have had the cancer if you'd had children, because you could have passed the hot potato."
Mm.
So that was my caring for the ancestors, if you like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not just for the ancestors, but for all the children too, you know, for the future generations.
Yeah.
Because you might not have had children, but other people in your line have had children,
yes.
And you've stopped it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is that okay. That is caring for the ancestors. And I'm really grateful that I had to go through such a difficult and dark experience in my own life about whether I was going to have children or not, in order to stop that. But I suspect it was part of the destiny.
Mm-hmm. So, because caring for the ancestors isn't just, I mean, I haven't been so clear on how that is caring for the ancestors. That's much more caring for the children, if you like. It's caring for who's alive now.
Yeah.
But in doing that healing work, we have the opportunity to lift curses, if there are any, and in the literal or in the more loose sense of the word. But we also have the chance to, where there are actual curses in our lineage, there will be people who have not, souls who have not been able to go to the land of the ancestors, as it were, because you can't if you're holding an intention to stay. And that the more we do the work to heal the line, to forgive, to remember, to love, to pass all these things backwards and forwards, you know, in this kind of almost like a umbilical cord passing down the generations, you know, there's good things going in two directions potentially. That as we pass back our gratitude, our blessings, our thanks for the gift of our life, we are helping all of the dead get to the place they need to be so that they can be well and wise ancestors, so that then we become the descendants of well and wise ancestors.
Right. So that you're actually going so outside important. Of time to heal things for yeah. now and now in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that. Absolutely. Oh, that's stunning. Incidentally, if you know, we've got a Patreon page. I'm not asking you to donate, but it'd be lovely if you did. But for free on the Patreon page is an acknowledgedly rather Christian meditation, but it's called the Chapel of Liberation, which you can use to help any soul get through. And it's to call up the soul to give the workers on the other side a chance to find that soul and take it through. So there's never anything that you can't, you can always do something.
Yeah.
And that meditation is absolutely free. You don't have to sign up for the Patreon at all. It's there for you to download. And if you can't find the Patreon page, because I haven't got the link in my head at the moment, just email me. You can find me on Facebook or somewhere. You can find me. I'm all over the internet.
Surely it's called Patreon Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch.
I'm pretty sure it is, but some of us can be very dim about those things. But the Chapel of Liberation is for everybody. Just to help with the ancestors.
Yeah.
And not only your ancestors, anybody you know who may not have got through safely. And it's amazing how people can feel this. Our friend Adam, who's been mentioned on this podcast many, many
repeatedly,
times.
Repeatedly, Adam.
Who had an open heart surgery to remove his pericardium last week and is recovering remarkably well. Absolutely wonderful. But the first contact I got from him when he was out of the hospital was not anything trivial. It was basically, can you check? I think I brought something back with me.
Oh.
Because he could just feel it. And it was mm-hmm. quite... He had a hitchhiker. Somebody mm-hmm. who died in the hospital didn't know where to go.
Right. Yeah.
You know, perfectly simple to say...
Again, which is at least a page that Christianity has remained on.
Yes.
You know, that is absolutely a fundamental way in which... So, in my language, this is psychopomp. Mm. So, the work of escorting the yeah. spirits of the dead to where they belong.
Yeah.
Incredibly important.
Yes. Most Christians don't do it. And also, again, I've mentioned this before, but we do go around in circles. I do worry about the modern day trend for the celebrants and the funeral directors. And I quite often ask them very politely, have you been trained in how to help a lost soul go on? And they always politely say, oh, blah, blah, but the answer is no.
Mm.
And that does trouble me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think most vicars don't know how to help a soul go on either.
Well, they need it. We need it.
Yeah.
Especially in a world which is no longer, I think, I don't actually know what the statistics are, but I don't think the majority of us are practicing Christians
no,
anymore.
No, not at all.
And so there are a lot of people, it seems, who die and they don't have a story about where they're going.
No.
And so they dither about not really knowing where to go
yeah.
and can easily end up staying.
Yes.
And yeah, then they need help. Yeah. There are loads of reasons why a spirit might stay. You know?
And you can imagine that all these spirits go on the nice Halloween marches with the children all dressed up as skeletons, maybe in the hope that somebody's going to spot them and send them through.
Yeah. Yeah. And explain to them that, because until you are through, you're still you.
Mm, you're still attached to the ego consciousness
exactly,
level of you.
Which means that you're not particularly wise necessarily.
No, you're not.
And that therefore you can, with the best of intentions, hang about, but being a problem, basically.
Yeah, being unhelpful, being yeah. who you were. My bishop says quite frequently, just because they're dead doesn't mean they're smarter.
No, exactly, precisely. But even... not necessarily being a problem because of who they were, but just being a problem full stop because they're an energy that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And so they're in the way, they're being a weight, you know, they become a burden upon the living, basically.
Yes.
But it's up to us, the living. One of the main ways, it seems to me, increasingly, that people don't go through is not only do we not have a story about where we're going, but also we live in a culture which is quite averse to grief.
Mm.
And that if you're there and you're dead and you're standing at your own funeral and there wasn't a, you know, suitably wised up vicar to send you through, and your family are all there and they've got a very stiff upper lip and actually...
Mm.
Some of them are just going, you know, don't leave us, we can't manage without you. You're going to stay.
Mm.
if at your funeral everyone is weeping and howling and there are, you know, lots and lots and lots of tears and there's been a wake, there's been a real sense of palms Goodbye. Being pressed together. Yeah. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. You know, mm-hmm. he was a good man. She was a wonderful woman, whatever. Mm-hmm. That this, a sense of not just goodbye. Well, yes, goodbye, but of letting go of, we loved you so much.
That it hurts that you've yes, gone.
We you are have prepared gone. To go. Totally weep for
yes.
you. And
yes.
And mourn you yes. because we loved you.
Yes. That, well, yes. that's Jewish sitting shiver for a week.
Yeah. yeah. Or Irish having a, you know, sitting yeah. with a body and having a wake. Yeah. And all of those things, those good, good, affirming goodbyes.
Yes.
That allow grief.
Yes. And the understanding that the funeral is to get the dead person through. It is not about the living.
Yeah.
It's not about actually celebrating their life, though that can be fun. It's about saying, you are dead, go. Mm. Yes, I totally hear you on that. And one of the briefs that we have in our church is we must do work for any celebrity who dies, particularly comedians, because people hold on to them.
Wow.
They don't want the celebrity to go.
Yeah, that never occurred to me.
And so that is our the primary work. If anything's drawn to our attention, we'll do the work. And I'm not allowed to tell you what the work is, but the Chapel of Liberation will work very well.
Yeah.
But as soon as somebody famous like Sean Locke, the comedian, dies, we'll get onto that because people go, oh, no, he was so lovely. Oh, I'm watching more and more videos of him and posting more videos of him while he was alive. And it's quite hard for famous people to get through.
Wow.
And I'll also add, you do requia for people who were hated. You bloody well do, because somebody's got to. My bishop was pilloried by a couple of people for doing a requiem for Saddam Hussein as soon as he heard he was dead. He said, well, who else is going to do one?
Maybe his many followers, I don't know.
Well, not yes, maybe. One doesn't know, but, you know, the outrage, how can you do that for somebody so evil? He said, well, I didn't know him.
No, well, and also we need him to be gone.
We really need somebody able to be gone. We need we need all the dead to be gone.
Yeah,
to start the next stage of whatever it is the process is. Because if they're going round again, we don't want the Buddhist belief is the bardo, the 3 days. If the soul doesn't realize all the demonic presences that are rising up in front of it are its own unacknowledged pains and griefs, it will dive back into another body as soon as possible and not learn anything and just go around the cycle again of samsara.
Wow, that is loud. I wonder if your listener can hear it. Oh, there's an army helicopter.
Oh, yeah, there'll be a...
Fast, very
we get a lot of that around here, that's why.
Oh, not that around here.
All right, we're around here.
Yeah, okay. So from the point of view of
how would you celebrate Halloween? Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's quite all right. That was about exactly where I was to go. Was just, to me, I would celebrate Halloween by, I have a suitcase full of pictures of my ancestors. Lucky me that, that I have that. And I will get some of them out, and Fergus will get the pictures of his ancestors out, and we will... hold a feast, and there will be a chair or chairs in honour of the ancestors, and they will be given food and libation, and I will check in with, is there work that needs to be done on any of the lineages from which we come that needs, you know, is there reparation to be done, is there mending, is there are there people who need to be sent through, what's the work, how can I relieve this lineage of its burdens, what's mine to do here.
And what about the rest of us who aren't as talented as you are in that? What can we do?
You can make it your intention that that be done.
Okay, then, good.
You know, just
like
we were saying last time, you know, where we put our attention and what's our story is very, very, very powerful.
Yes.
And so...
just have a meal and say, this meal is in honour of all my ancestors, that they know that they're loved and appreciated and they go through to the higher realms. Yeah.
And my prayer is, no matter whether you're praying to
you know, like
Jesus or Hecate or Mary or blooming
Pan or
anyone,
yeah.
Assuming that you have a practice of prayer, offer them up. for the dead that they might find their way to where they need to be.
Yeah.
Intention is a powerful thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I would also add, just be aware that the dead quite often just want to go through, so they're asking for your help. And if you can just feel a rivulet of energy anywhere that isn't quite right, or then just say, if there is a soul here, there is now a bridge. See, there is a bridge from here to the afterlife, and on that bridge is standing your angel beckoning to you. Go now. Go now to the higher worlds where you will be at peace. I did that this morning. We were just driving to look at this house, and I just felt a sudden heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, hello. Here, bridge.
Yeah.
Angel, go, go, go. And I just felt it just go, yay!
Yeah, I can very much relate.
So I think a lot of us are afraid that if we contact the dead, they won't want to go and they'll haunt us. And but I think the majority
want to go.
And just briefly, I've watched a couple of programs called Long Island Medium, which is on Quest Red, because I got obsessed with this program called Say Yes to the Dress for some reason.
Briefly. I remember you talking about it.
And after that is Long Island Medium, and she does excellent work. She's an amazing woman who's channeling the earthbound, I think. That's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think most psychics are channeling the earthbound? Because all the messages she brings through are very personal for the people. And there's no ancestor knowledge coming through, or ancestor wisdom coming through. And I'm wondering whether those people wanted to get a message through so they could move on or something like that.
Quite likely. I mean, yes, often one of the reasons for not moving on is that I really, 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 really need to do this thing before I go.
Yeah.
And that can be telling.
Yeah.
Yes, so absolutely yes, that could be the case.
Mm. So if you go and see a psychic and somebody comes through, thank them and send them on.
Yeah, really.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you... So there is another explanation, which it could be that the psychic is contacting well and wise dead, so yes, those who are already on their way.
Yes.
Or rather, it could be that spirit is manifesting as people in their line. It's not the same as a summoning the dead. It's spirit bringing knowledge through the metaphor of I'm your granny, so that the spirits can pass on blessings or information or whatever, if that's needed, potentially for the healing of that individual.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. That's really helpful. Really helpful. Yeah. So this Halloween, I'm going to offer a prayer. I'm going to say, if you want to say this, just literally say, thank you, God, for my ancestors. Thank you, Mother, for my ancestors. Thank you, Great Being, for the ancestors. May they all be blessed. May they pass through to the higher realms in peace and joy.
And I would like to offer you, darling ancestors, I thank you for the gift of my physical being, for my arms, for my legs, for my whatever, in my case, I have specifically my grandmother and whoever before her to thank for my greeny brown eyes. Thank you for my brown hair and my 10 fingers and my 10 toes, yeah, and the way I love the land and the way you gave me stories, yeah, and knowing that someone gave him stories,
yeah,
and someone gave them before, yeah, that stories, and just really, really to the humans who've come before me, and to all the creatures who've been involved, to the more than human, to the land that's housed us, to the houses that have held us, to the boats that have floated us, to the birds that have filled our hearts with joy every dawn. Thank you for what has been that has shaped the now, yes, and for all the ways I rejoice in the now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know who it was who said it, but if the only prayer you say is thank you, it will be enough.
Yeah, it's a good word.